Thank you, Steve, for leading our service and tonight, and particularly for those songs that just remind us of the love of our Lord. And we're going to be thinking about that tonight in our passage. We're continuing our series on the minor prophets. And it would be really helpful if you had a Bible. So they're going to be handed out if you don't have one. And for the Bibles that are getting handed out, the brown Bibles, it's page 952. We're in the book of Hosea. And just a different way of describing how to get there from Steve. If you find Daniel, there's a bigger book. And just move a little bit further on, it's the next book on from Daniel. We're going to spend a little bit of time just in terms of background before I go into the main points of application tonight. We have been looking in the morning, going through Isaiah. We've been looking in the evening in a mixture of kings and also the minor prophets, and we're continuing that series tonight. If you've been coming regularly, you will have hopefully a feel already about the historical context, but I'm going to spend a bit of time just going through that in terms of the book of Hosea at the start. So we're going to start off with the historical context. We're going to go on and we're going to look at the picture, a very vivid picture that is painted in this book. And then what we're going to do is move on and consider three points of application for us tonight. We're going to look at the depths to which Israel had fallen, the sin of the nation of Israel. We're going to think about the disastrous consequences of that sin and the impact of that sin. And then we're going to be thinking around how Israel were delivered by God's love. And it's a love that tolerates no rivals, and we're going to think about that in the context of our lives and thinking about how we are in our lives and how God loves us. So that's where we're going tonight in our passage. But first of all, the historical context for tonight. We've got a context here which is given to us in verse 1 of the passage. In verse 1 it says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel." So right at the start of the book we have some historical context. Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel. We've been thinking in the mornings around the southern kingdom, but this is the northern kingdom of Israel. And it's around about the same time as Isaiah prophesied to the southern kingdom. The people had departed far from God, and we're going to see that as we go through our passage tonight. They'd gone far away from the Lord. And Isaiah prophesied not only the punishment through captivity, but also beyond that to the restoration when Israel would return to God. So we have the immediate punishment, the immediate consequences, but we have the hope of God's forgiveness and God's future plans for his people. Hosea does not specifically mention the fall of Israel as an historic fact in this book, so it's thought he ministered mainly before 722 BC when that event happened. His ministry took place roughly between 750 and 725. His first prophecies were during the reign of Jeroboam II, when there was outward prosperity, but inward emptiness. There was outward prosperity, inward emptiness. And I wonder if that rings any bells with you as you consider our country, our culture, and where we are. There's a chart here which is courtesy of Dave Mixon. I take no credit for this, but it gives you some idea of where things are sitting. And certainly if we look at the chart there, we can see that Hosea was at a similar time as Amos, around at the same time as Isaiah, Micah and Joel to the southern kingdom of Judah. And also similarly with Jonah. So just an idea there, again, of the historic context which we're looking at tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to look very briefly through the three chapters to get our context, to get an idea of what Hosea is talking about before we go on to our points of application tonight. So chapter 1 sets out what the Lord had asked Hosea to do. We've got this very unusual situation we'll come to where he asks him to go and to marry a prostitute. Chapter 2 goes into the detail about the state that Israel was in, but using Hosea's personal situation to illustrate this. And we'll see this right through the chapters, this illustration of what's happening in Hosea's personal life to really illustrate what's happening in the nation of Israel. And chapter 3 returns back to Hosea as he is commanded by the Lord to take back his wife. So let's look at the personal situation first, and that will give us the context where we go. So let's start off by reading chapter 1 of the book. Hosea chapter 1. We'll just start off in verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." So what do we see in that chapter that we've just read? Well, first of all, it should jump out at you at the start. The Lord asks Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman. So in verse 2, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Some commentators would say this is allegorical. It didn't really happen. However, most would agree that it did happen. But perhaps she became unfaithful after they were married. There's a number of different views there. Either way, it seems clear that Hosea was recording his own personal circumstances, and that the situation with the nation of Israel and their sin had got so bad, was so grim, that God had brought this circumstance around in Hosea's life to really bring to light the depths of the sin of the people. It illustrates Israel's unfaithfulness to God, breaking the marriage vows that were made at Mount Sinai. Secondly, we have recorded the birth of three children in this passage. First a son, then a daughter, and finally another son. We're going to go into that a little bit more detail later, looking at the names and what they mean. But suffice to say at the moment that they're not complementary. They're not the sort of names that you'll be wanting to give to your children. But they're there for us. It's there in Scripture. And there's a real powerful message there, even the names that are given to these children that we have here. And at the end of chapter 1, we have a hint, which we're going to trace through these passages, a hint of the hope that Hosea talks about, a hope that we will turn to later as we look at each chapter about this positive message. So we'll leave that for later on, but there is that hope that is got across at the end of chapter 1. I'm not going to read chapter 2. You can go through that later if you want to. But what chapter 2 does is sets out the depths that Israel had fallen to and links this to the illustration of marital unfaithfulness. God is the husband. Israel is the unfaithful wife. There is punishment, but again, the chapter ends with that message of hope, of God's redemption, of God's forgiveness. I'm not going to go through all the details of the chapter, but maybe just home in on verse 13 of chapter 2. It says, "I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals, She decked herself with rings and jewellery and went after her lovers. But me she forgot, declares the Lord. So here we get an idea about what is going on in the nation of Israel at this time. It talks about the Baals. It talks about the idea that the nation of Israel had departed from the God who loved them and had moved away from that true living God, that God which cannot be seen in front of their eyes, to things. It talks here around the rings and the jewellery and the lovers that they went after. It talks about the Baals. It talks about false gods. We'll come on to that again later when we read more about the specific sin of the nation of Israel in this passage. But again, at the end of the chapter, it comes back and it talks about God's mercy and deliverance. And again, we'll come back and pick that up later on. So chapter 3 returns to Hosea. It returns to his personal circumstances. And he is asked by God to take back his wife despite her unfaithfulness. Let's read chapter 3. It's just a short chapter. The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethek of barley. Then I told her, "You are to live with me for many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. For the Israelites will live for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days." A verse to home in on in that chapter is verse 5. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David the king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. We see about them seeking God. We see about them removing the idols that have taken the place in their lives. So that's a very brief overview of the chapters that we're looking at tonight. And what I want to do now is move on to the points I want to draw out of this tonight and going back into some of the verses and which draw them out. So first of all, we have the depth to which Israel had fallen. The depth that Israel had fallen to. The main sin of Israel that I've already mentioned was adultery. There were a lot of things that were going on in that nation which were far, far from what God had wanted. And although we're primarily looking at chapters 1 to 3 tonight, chapter 4 gives us, I think, quite a clear idea of what was going on. So I just want to read a few verses from chapter 4 that are up on the screen. Verses 1 to 3 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed." And down to verse 12. "My people consult a wooden idol, and a diviner's rod speaks to them. A spirit of prostitution leads them astray. They are unfaithful to their God." You can see a few things coming through here. You can see this illustration of unfaithfulness, prostitution, the idea that they have left their love. You can see how, for us, it is crazy what they were doing. It talks about how they were consulting a wooden idol, something that is made of wood. That is what they were consulting. They had replaced this wooden idol. They'd replaced the living God with a wooden idol. And for us, that just seems absolutely mad. What does that mean for us today? Often we will look at these passages in the Old Testament and we will consider, well, why did they do that? We would never do that. We would never pick up a piece of wood and bow down and worship that piece of wood. So we can often find it hard to identify with worship of wooden idols. But you know what? In our lives, there's many things that we have that replace God. We just worship different idols. It's different things that we would worship in our lives, and we put them before God. Anything that I put in my life before God is an idol. The scripture is quite clear about that. And there's a song which I think was actually Colin a number of years ago played here at Crubbers, which has really stuck with me. I just want to put the words up here just now. It's Jimmy Needham, and it's called Clear the Stage. And it talks about this idea about clearing the rubbish, clearing the idols from our lives so that we can focus on him. Take a break from all the plans that you have made and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg him, please, to open up his mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol, and anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol, and anything that I give all my love is an idol. So really just reinforcing that idea that we have idols in our lives. These things that crowd out God in our lives, they are idols. And we need to consider that. We need to consider what we do about that. They, the Israelites, were serving the things that they could see and touch and smell rather than the invisible God. And what that song, I think, reminds me of is that we're doing exactly the same things in our lives. We have got idols in our lives, things that are taking the place of God, the important place of God. We have left, in often cases, our first love, the Lord Jesus, and we've moved over to idols. Colossians chapter 3, I think, reinforces what we're saying here. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. And note what it says, which is idolatry. So in Colossians, in the New Testament, we have been told that these things that are in our lives are idolatry. So we can't read the passages in the Old Testament. We can't read what we've read in Hosea and what's happening to the nation of Israel and say, that has no relevance to us. We need to read it and we need to see the direct relevance to us, the direct relevance to our lives, as we see the things that get in the way of God in our lives, the things that we love more than God, if we are often honest about it. So having understood the sin of the Israelites, having understood the sin that's in our lives, what are the consequences of that sin? There were disastrous consequences of sin that we read of in this passage. God was not going to simply overlook the sin of his people. He couldn't do that. Look at the names of the children of Hosea. We read it earlier. We're going to go through it again just now to get an understanding of the consequences of Israel's sin. It's just interesting how through this story, and again going back to the personal circumstances of Hosea's life and the children that he had and to this woman that God asked him to marry, and then the names that God has said to Hosea, you need to call these children, and how that relates to the nation of Israel and the punishment that the nation of Israel is receiving from God as a result of their idolatry, their sin. So we have in verse 4, the first son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. So that was the first son. Then we have the daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Hurama, which means not loved. For I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. And then the second son, the third child. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people. For you are not my people, and I am not your God. So why are we sometimes surprised when sin has consequences? Often we tend to turn a bit of a blind eye to the impact, the consequences of our sin. We're often sleepwalking through life, aware but not aware. Have you ever seen somebody who's sleepwalking? I hadn't really until a number of years ago, but my middle daughter Hannah regularly sleepwalks. Usually the sign is about 45 minutes after we put her down to bed, you hear her up, you hear some noise, and it's not her awake, she's sleepwalking through the house. She regularly does it. It's not always clear whether she's awake or not. She walks, she talks, she doesn't fall over things. Sometimes comes downstairs, sometimes a duvet with her. But no purpose in what she's doing. Often talking nonsense. In the morning, can't remember a thing. Can't remember a thing of what happened. Sometimes we're convinced she's actually awake, but in the morning we realize that she wasn't because she doesn't remember a thing. And in our lives, it can be a bit like that. We can often, in our lives, just be sleepwalking, going through aimlessly, not really fully aware of what's happening. Sometimes with our Hannah, there can be a vague awareness. She's kind of half awake, half asleep. And I think sometimes we're like that. We're so caught up in the things of this world that we're no longer aware of the reality of God in our lives. And our focus on material things that we can see and touch often can get in the way of our relationship with the living God. We can be so caught up in our lives that we block out the consequences of our godlessness, our godless lives. We often are not in that area of reality. We lose touch with reality. We need to be alert. We need to be alert in our lives and not to wait for some dramatic event to happen where we suddenly have to reassess and think, you know what, I've got it wrong. Let's use the scripture. Let's come to the Lord and read his word and do what he says in his word, which is to examine ourselves and consider our lives before him. We don't want one day to wake up to the reality of our neglect of God and find that we have been wasting our lives. Let's take action today. Let's examine our lives before the Lord and just get rid of the idols that have maybe crept in. Again, dipping into the book of Colossians, again, a relevant verse there from Colossians, which says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The passage goes on to talk about those things that we should leave behind us, similar to the list of sins that Israel had that we looked at earlier. And idolatry is specifically mentioned in that passage. So let's wake up to the reality of sin. Let's wake up to the consequences of sin, that God does not leave sin unpunished. He has to deal with it. But we're going to move on now to look at our final point, and that is considering the love of God. And I said, delivered by God's love, a love that tolerates no rivals. God demonstrates through Hosea his love for his people and his desire to rescue them. It comes throughout the passage that we've been looking at today, right through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So we have this indication of God's love for us in each chapter. Let's just pull out a few verses as we go through here. So chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. And thinking as we're going through these verses about the love that God has, despite the sin of his people, the love that God has for his people. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. So we've got this message of of hope. We've got this positive message of the future, a future of Israel having a position in God's plan, not being completely cast off, completely forgotten because of their sin, but a future hope for the people of Israel. Chapter 2, verse 23. Similarly, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those who called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. So this people, whose lives were full of adultery, who had departed from God, will say, you are my God, to the true living God. And chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. For the Israelites will live for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Israel did not deserve God's grace and mercy. They did not deserve a second chance. We've looked at their sin. We've seen how awful their sin was in God's sight. We're no different. The sin in our lives creates a separation from God. And if you're here tonight and you don't yet understand the gospel, you haven't yet put your trust in Christ, it's not a complicated message. It's something that's very easy for us to get our head around. Hopefully you've seen already that we've all done wrong things in our lives. We've all sinned before God. We've not put him first in our lives. We've sinned against him. And that sin requires punishment. We've read about how God required punishment in the nation of Israel. But similarly, in our individual lives, the sin that we've done against God, God needs to punish that. But God has provided the answer in our Lord Jesus Christ, sending Jesus into this world to die on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He didn't have to die, but he went to the cross willingly, taking the punishment for our sin. There's a verse that says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus, who is perfect, who knew no sin, became sin for us. And we'll be remembering that as we come to the communion table shortly, remembering the perfect Lord Jesus who died on the cross for our sin. Jesus died, yes, but God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. He is our risen Savior. A tremendous message of hope that we have. And God offers us forgiveness through Christ. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have this offer of salvation in Christ, and it's an offer that is open to every one of us to be forgiven for our sin, to have that relationship with God. What if you trusted God already? What if you are already a Christian? Well, our sin can get in the way of our relationship with God. It doesn't affect our eternal destiny. If you've put your trust in Christ, if you have done that in your life, you know that you're going to heaven. Nothing can take that away. We were hearing about that from David this morning, about the certainty of our future hope for the Christian. So it doesn't affect our eternal destiny, but it does affect our fellowship, our relationship with Christ. We need to set aside the idols in our life and fully trust and follow God. We need to remember that God loves us and has gone to extraordinary lengths to demonstrate that. So what is our response to this love? In conclusion, I want to look at just a couple of verses from Exodus 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments. As I read about making an image, think about the things in our lives that push God out, that are more important than him to us. Let us be aware of and deal with these things, knowing that God hates the sin, the idols in our lives. So don't read these verses and read idols. Doesn't apply to me. Idols do apply to us. Exodus 20, verse 4 to 6. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us put our trust in him, wholeheartedly follow him. It mentions in those verses in Exodus about God's jealousy for anything that gets in the way of our love for him. So our title for this session here, Delivered by God's Love, a love that tolerates no rivals. God wants to have that central place in our life. God deserves that central place in our lives. I think the question for us tonight, the question for me tonight, is does God have that central place in our lives? Have we dealt with the idols that so often can crowd him out, that can become our first love? Let's come to prayer just now and pray over these things before we come to the communion table. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the pictures that we have in the book of Hosea, the pictures that are in his life that tell us so much about the people of Israel, your people, that tell us so much about our lives here thousands of years later, where we still have idols that crowd you out of our lives. Lord, forgive us and help us, Lord, to put you in that position that you deserve. We just thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his death on the cross for us, taking the punishment for our sin. And we just thank you that that relationship we have with you is because of what you have done for us and that love you have shown to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.